Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, live from Street Row Ben Salem Parks Casino, home of Cousins Corner, right here as we hang out. The video wall is popping. Look at all the games, baskets, hockey. It's all over. It's beautiful. All right. Lots to get to, and we will get back to the phone lines. Do me a favor. You got to pod that down a little bit because I'm in a thank you. All right. We are. We have lots to get to. Guys on hold. We're working out some stuff, so please hang tight. Joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast, is my man, one of the great betting analysts out there from NBC Sports Philadelphia. We'll be doing the show tomorrow night, the Sixers BetCast. He is Brad Feinberg. Good evening, Brad.
What is up, my friend? I'm looking forward to it tomorrow night. I can't wait. It's going to be great.
That's right. On the Comcast Plus channel, we'll be breaking down the Sixers from a betting angle and from a different angle. You got to have some fun with it. And we mess around, but we love it because we love talking basketball. And you talk betting. I talk basketball. You're a great sportsman. And together we have some fun. Let me ask you, how'd you do with the Super Bowl?
Did really well. Almost all the props won. And it's funny, one of the ones it did lose, it was interesting. There was two I think you picked out that, you know, you're like, you didn't like, even though the math said it, and you were right, you said Travis Kelce scoring a touchdown, and they had that pass interference in the end zone. I'm like, oh, great. And now they're at the 1 yard line. Travis Kelce's not going to get a touchdown. And then he got it on the next play. And then also Deebo Samuel ended up getting over 4.5 catches. They got 5 catches. Those were two plays where I just went with the numbers and, I lost one, but lost one. You know, Deebo had 5 catches, and Kelce, of course, caught that touchdown.
That's
right.
You cleaned up everywhere
but
else.
I did well. I did. I won about 75% of them, but yeah.
Oh,
I did
that's
lose
great.
A few.
That is great. We both, you know, I loved the Chiefs from the beginning. I was on them. It was a different way how they came back and won, but it was a lot of fun.
I got to tell you, because again, I told you I thought it was going to be my big take in that game was the game's going to come down to the last minute. And I really do believe if they played 100 times, it would be 50-50. I think those teams, I think you saw, and I really think you saw, I know you picked the Chiefs to win, and you were pretty confident in it, and obviously they did win, but I think you saw that when a quarterback gets pressured, no matter how great, no matter how wonderful he is, and Mahomes, I think, is the best player in the world, you see that it makes great players not look great, and they could not block Bosa. He was in on every single play.
Yeah,
and I mean, it's crazy. When you watch J.J. Watt going against him, he never got in. But Bosa got in on every play. And I don't think it was a fluke. I really felt like the 49ers, until they maybe got tired in the way and in the fourth quarter, you know, Mahomes couldn't do much because he didn't have time to do much.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I thought it was a great matchup, but I was really happy Kansas City won.
Yeah, yeah. All right, before we get back to football, and I know you got you got some basketball at home tonight, so which is awesome. Your son playing some hoops. Sixers, everybody's talking about them.
Yep.
You are a season ticket. You're down there all the time.
Yep.
We do the show together. They're catching 9 tonight. It's a fat number. Any thoughts on the game and the Sixers tonight with all the turmoil they've been going through?
It's interesting, Andy, because there's a lot of elements to look at this game. You know, you have the Philadelphia team coming off of, you'd like to say, all right, if the team has any pride, coming off that humiliating loss to Miami, which was one of the worst losses of the season, in my opinion. And you're like, okay, you know, they're gonna come out like a house on fire. You know, this is a team that's gonna show up tonight. But then what I think about, I always think about that game, that Christmas game day, where they just destroyed the Bucks. And I think Milwaukee's had this game circled on their calendar for quite a long time, and I know people are thinking that, you know, Philadelphia stops Giannis, and Giannis, I think, is going to want to come out and prove that no one can stop me. And
right.
I think this game means a lot to Milwaukee. Obviously not a cheap number. When is the last time the Sixers were getting 9 points in the game? I would say certainly not this year or last year. I don't even know when the last time they were getting this many points in the game. From a Philadelphia point of view, here's what I do like. They've played on national TV 5 times this year, 3 times against the Celtics. the Bucks on Christmas Day and the Lakers. And all five games, they won. I mean, they look great. They seem like one of those teams that when people are watching them, they take
Except
pride.
Saturday night against the Celtics.
They beat the Bucks on Christmas Day. They beat the Lakers, you know, on that Saturday night, you know, two weeks ago. And they played well in these kind of spots. Here's what I would say to everyone out there is, if you like Philadelphia, I would rather, I even see some 5.5s on my screen. I would take them in the first half instead, rationale being, if you're going to get an inspired effort from Philadelphia, I expect it to be coming out in that first half. They're going to want to really show that they're there. But I don't know for 48 minutes if they're going to be able to sustain it. I think Milwaukee is going to win by double digits. But if you like the Philadelphia side, I'd rather get 5.5 in the first half and hope that just for 24 minutes they make it close and I don't have to deal with it in the second half. Because, again, I cannot back this Philadelphia team. Now, what's going to happen, though, Anthony? You're going to see Philadelphia start to win a lot of games because their schedule gets a lot lighter. And I think people are going to say, oh, Sixers are back. They've won 12 in a row or whatever. But look at their schedule. It gets really easy. But I think a lot of it may just be a product of their schedule coming up. But
wow, you're not high on the Sixers at all.
I know it's been a rough stretch. There's so many things you want to like about the team. I mean, obviously, you know, you have the two, you know, Simmons and Embiid and Tobias. I always admit anything when I'm wrong in life. I'll be the first one to admit it. When they changed their team and they went from Jimmy and JJ to Horford and Josh Richardson, I thought it was definitely an upgrade. Okay, I really did. But if I'm looking at it objectively now, and I've had 50 games to view what they've looked like, and I see what Jimmy Butler's meant to the Heat, I think that losing Jimmy Butler, you know, maybe not so much JJ, but losing that Jimmy Butler spot to me has been he's the guy that would, when they were losing, he would call them out when they were losing, if they were getting blown out.
No, he's been the alpha. He was the alpha, without a doubt.
Right, and I don't see that on the team right now. You hear Ben say we're playing soft, but this is thinking, I'm not on the team, Anthony, and I don't know. But in my head I'm thinking, I don't know if the players are really like listening to Ben saying, oh, Ben said we're soft, versus Jimmy gets in your face.
Well, they heard it all right. I don't think they like it.
But someone like Jimmy gets in your face, that prickly thing, and you like want to prove him wrong. You want to say, all right, look, let's go to war. Like, sometimes you need that kind of guy in the locker room, and I don't know if they have it right now. Still plenty of time to turn around. You would think that they're better than what they are. But gosh, again, I think that they've certainly been disappointing. And Al Horford, I don't know, you know, I expected a lot more from him than what he's given. He's only proved, don't you agree with me on that? Like,
I do. I'm not as down long-term as you are. I know it's tough. I still think they're a team that is a good defensive team and built to play in the playoffs. And I'm not ready to bury them yet.
I'm not burying them. No, I'm not burying them. No, I'm absolutely not burying them because they have the talent. They have the talent for sure. I would have liked to have seen, I know we discussed it and I know you weren't as high on it, but I would have liked to have seen them get Marcus Morris. I think they could have started him, used Al Horford off the bench, and I think that would have been a better move. I think it would have helped them offensively.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I love Marcus Morris, and I think the Clippers made a great move by getting him.
I think that trade.
I just don't think
them the favorite.
I agree. My point to you was, and I agree with that, I love Marcus Morris. I just don't think they have room, that they needed more of a perimeter shooter. And, you know, Alec Burks, and we talked about him when we did the show.
Yeah.
They played Golden State, and I said that's a guy they're going to look to because that's a guy that can score in a flurry. And I think, you know, it's a good pickup. It's cheap. They didn't give up anything for those two. And both those two can spread the floor a little bit.
That's very fair. You're right. They really didn't give up anything for it. And it's like they're getting a free roll on it. Me and you talked about it, like people who wanted to get maybe someone like a Gallinari or something. Well, you're not going to be able to get that. You can't afford it. But Marcus Morris, you know, do you know what Marcus Morris is shooting from three this year, Anthony?
Yeah, I know. I've seen
44%.
He's the leading scorer of the Knicks. I mean, you know.
44% from three.
And I love him because he's a Philly kid. He and Markieff, the twins.
I think they could have used that.
Again, when we talk about the Morris, we talk about Marcus Morris. Where is that coming from? Right? Like, The issue is, where are the minutes? Where are those, minutes coming from?
To me, it's not that hard. And I'll you tell me where I'm wrong. I would say whatever minutes Mike Scott was getting go to zero. So what's he getting, like 16 minutes a night? Something like that?
Not that many. But, I just think when they're all healthy and they're playing in the playoffs, I just think you have a log jam in the front court and you need some backcourt scoring. Like,
sure.
Just, you know, and that's it. Like, you know, you've seen too much Korkmaz playing 22 sure. minutes. You've seen too much of Neto. Like, we joke about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no, you're right.
In the playoffs.
I guess I would like to know, would there have been a way, maybe not, probably not, to maybe gotten Burks and Morris? You know, probably not.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I love the kid. So, you know, I mean, I the more the merrier from my end.
I would have played Al Horford less minutes. Anthony, you want my honest answer? I would play Al Horford. He's averaging, I think, about 30 minutes a night. I wouldn't mind cutting him. Listen, I would say he would play every minute Embiid was not on the floor. And we talked about Anthony on the show. His stats, Embiid and Horford together, it is crazy. The difference, they have not been effective together. I mean, it is what it is. And I would have, I don't know. Again, it is, they made their decision. They don't have Marcus Morris. This is their team. And there really wasn't much they could have done. It was very limited. They didn't have the first round picks to move, and they don't have the salary cap room. So people that were expecting them to add some tremendous player, you're living in fantasy land. They really had a very limited scope of what they're going to be able to do. But they have talent with this team.
Yeah, real quick before we, because you got to run, and I want the people, if you have anything tonight, if you have anything for the weekend, basketball, hockey way for the people, you do the service.
You got it, buddy. Here, a couple things in tonight's game, in the Sixers game, which I researched, which I think are some good props in tonight's game for everyone listening out there. Okay, Joel Embiid played 35 games this year, okay? In 35 games, he's gone under 3.5 assists, 24-11. 24-11 to the under, 12-1 in his last 13, under 3.5 assists. I mean, to me, that's a tremendous play. For the season, he's almost 70% going under, and he's 12-1 in his last 13. I think there's real value there. Tobias Harris, rebounds, Anthony. They made it 5.5. He's averaging 6.7, and he's 12-2 in his last 14 to over 5.5 rebounds. To me, that number should have been 6.5. I think there's no reason not to take over there. Okay. Giannis, okay, assists, 5.5. Last 19 games, he's gone over 13 of those last 19. He's averaging about 6 assists for the year. 5.5 to me was too light. And again, I think in a game like this, because Philadelphia actually did guard him well with guys like Horford and Embiid, he may look to pass maybe a little bit more.
I agree with that.
Over 5.5 assists is a really strong play.
Yeah.
Giannis rebounds, 12.5. He averages 13.3. He's gone over 5 straight. I expect him to come out with vengeance tonight. He's gone over 11 of his last 16 in rebounds. I think Giannis gets at least 14 rebounds tonight. I like over 12.5. And the last one I'll give you is my least favorite of the five, but it's still been a 60% pick. Al Horford, he's averaging over 6 rebounds. They made his over under 5.5. And he's played 30 games with Embiid. You have to do it with Embiid. He's still 18-12 going over 5.5 rebounds. I still think there's value there taking over 5.5, Anthony, in terms of that. Tonight, Orlando is at the Knicks. Orlando's been fighting. You know, I think they're a decent team. They're fighting for that playoff spot. The Knicks just traded their leading scorer in Morris. I think this is a game you can lay 3, 3.5. I think Orlando wins this game tonight, and it's a cheap enough number that I'll bite. And Orlando, to me, again, is certainly not a great team by any stretch of the imagination, but they need this game. They're fighting with Chicago to get in the playoffs, and they're actually trying to win while the Knicks are not trying to do anything. And I think that Orlando wins this game.
I like it. Brad, real quick, are you getting involved in the XFL?
It's fun. I have a lot of Vegas contacts that are texting me. I can tell you this, what the quote unquote sharp play in Vegas NFL is the New York team. I believe they were getting anywhere from 2 to 3. That is the quote unquote sharp play where the sharps are looking to get involved with taking New York. Again, I have not started it yet. I really haven't, but again, I have people out there that this is what they do, and this is, and I, they were telling me Blue Horseshoe likes New York. Anyone remembers Movie Wall Street, they'll know what I'm talking about.
I love it. Oh my God, it's hysterical. All right, go watch your son play some ball, man.
I will. Right? I'm looking forward to it.
All right, good stuff.
Good luck to everyone tonight. Again, just I'm closing. And last thing I want to say, I do may think the Sixers have a tremendous amount of talent, and I'm not writing them off by any stretch. I do think they will be a better team in the postseason than they are right now, and I do think they'll play better on the road in the postseason than they are now. I am not writing this team off, but we talk about the NBA, a long season, ebb and flows. Right now is just not their best time, but I think eventually they are going to get there.
Sounds good, brother. Good stuff. Well, see you tomorrow night for the BetCast on NBC Sports Philadelphia. Plus, Brad Feinberg, the betting analyst. Thanks, Brad.
Bye-bye.
See you, buddy. Take it easy. Here he is. We'll come back in just a moment, and we'll get all of our people. I'm going to continue it. Flyers fell down early goal, so Devils scored quickly right into the game. Devils are up by 1-0, but it's early, lots of plenty of chances. So we'll come back in just a moment and take your phone calls, 610-632-0975. It's Cubs Corner Live, Parks Casino, Street Road, Ben Salem.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, back live at the fabulous sportsbook, Street Road, Ben Salem, Parks Casino. Flyers still 1-0, about 8 minutes to go in the first period. Devils got an early goal. Now they settled in, so Flyers, this is a good game for them. They should be able to score at some point. Should be a higher scoring game. Phil in St. Louis, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Phil, how are you, buddy?
Good, how are you, cuz?
Good, buddy. What are you doing, man? What are you doing in St. Louis?
Well, I was born and raised here in Missouri. I got family from Philly, and everybody else I know is bleeding St. Louis colors except for me, so... So I'm sticking to the family heritage here.
That's awesome, brother. I love it. I love it. That's great.
Well, I got a quick question and a little sort of a goofy theory about the Flyers. So,
yeah.
How do you feel about them this year? You think they're going to do it? Maybe make some noise in the playoffs?
You know, I can tell you, I feel great about them, big picture. I finally think that they're good. They have talent. I love the way they play. Alain Vigneault has been terrific. He's been exactly what they need. He's opened things up for them. He's played the young guys. They've showed a lot of great, I think, youth. I like them. I feel good about them. You get Hart back, we'll see. You get hot, you never know. That's one good thing. And we saw with the Blues, you saw firsthand last year when they get hot. So, anything can happen. But, I do think they're heading for a real good run.
Yeah. Well, I guess one point I had about them, and I know I got to be quick here, but I watch them every year when they come to St. Louis, and it's awesome to see AV. I mean, the way he was interacting with the fans, and just
wins.
He's not a robot. I think that's awesome for the team. And hopefully that makes some noise.
Yeah, Hackstall. Hackstall was not human. When you cut him open, there was nothing but wires. You're right on.
Oh,
man.
Yeah. Well, I guess kind of onto my goofy theory. You remember you were talking about the Eagles and the 10-year curse after the Super Bowl?
Yes, the curse of Nick Foles.
Oh, yeah. So what did the Flyers do 10 years ago? They went to the Cup Final, right?
Yes.
So do you think they kind of sold their soul to the devil in 2010 to get to the Cup? Now, 10 years, it's 10 years, cuz. Do you think the mini curse is over even though they didn't win?
I don't think that was a curse. I think you can only sell your soul if you win it.
Yeah, right? That is true.
That was one of the most amazing runs ever, because you get in on a shootout, remember? They weren't good on a shootout.
Oh, yeah.
And then you come back from the 3-0 deficit against Boston. 3-0 in the series and 3-0 in game 7. But as great as that was, I just think that was a great run. I don't think that. I think the Nick Foles curse, I'm worried about more.
Yeah. Well, I feel you on that. Well, man, like I said, I'm hungry for the Flyers to make a run, and that
they're going to be fun. They're going to be fun, brother. So you they're going to be in there, and the Roaring Twenties is their decade, man. They're going to be back, so you enjoy it, pal. We'll be talking a lot of Flyers, like I guarantee it.
Yes, sir. Well, it was an honor to talk to you. Have a good night. Go Flyers.
You too, buddy. You got it, brother. You got it. Let's go to Tony in Glenside. Tony.
Hey, what's going on, man?
What's up, Tom?
What's going on, brother? Listen, okay. I got the perfect offense. I got the perfect offense for them. I thought about this. There's two things that Joel Embiid has to do. Stop taking the ball out, number one. And I'm going to tell you why. Stop taking the ball out and stop setting high picks. Now, this is all Brett Brown has to do. Tell Ben Simmons on missed baskets, he can run out. The team run out, Joel Embiid run straight to the front of the rim, and he can hit his three-point, shooters on the side, right, on all missed baskets, on made baskets. Joel Embiid got to walk his guy to the front of the rim, face him, until the ball comes across the, till the ball come across the court. Turns around, think yourself, let's go bully ball. You can get it all out of one offense, but Ben Simmons has to control it.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, you know what you're describing is you're basically describing a playoff of the Showtime Lakers, but it's 2020.
Exactly, and that's what when you kept saying that, I was like, it's so easy. On missed basket, you can run. Yeah. Just run.
Let him go. And there are times when he doesn't even need – Joe doesn't even need to run the floor. But, stay back and catch your breath.
Yeah. He can stay back. You know what I'm saying? And then on miss or made basket, what the problem with Embiid is he the one take the ball out all the time. And he's always the last one to go.
Yeah, I agree with you, brother. Yes.
So if he stopped taking the ball out on made baskets and just busts behind down to the front of the rim, by the time everybody gets down there, he already has his position. I'm out, man.
I like it, Tone. You got it, babe. Take it easy. Right. I agree, man. I think, it's a playoff that offense. That Showtime Lakers with a 2020 twist. I'm not telling you you're going to go back and you're going to play like it was in 1982. But you can play with a 2020 spin where when you get run outs, you play good defense. That's why Matisse should start. Horford comes off the bench. You got Matisse and Ben playing hawking defense, and you get runouts. You get your runouts, and you run. And you attack the rim. Try to get as much foul trouble as possible, right? Attack, attack, attack. And then when you're in half court set, let the big man touch it. He's got to touch it more than he's doing now. And they have to come to that. Ryan, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hey, Ryan, what do you say, brother?
What's going on, cuz?
What's going on with you?
I feel like I know you because I listen to you in the office all day, but I can never call in. It's kind of weird.
Thank you.
Yeah, cool.
Man. Appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem. But, Ben upsets me hearing that he stayed behind in Miami and then he was clubbing. It's like,
I know.
It's like he doesn't even care about the fans, it seems like, you know?
Yeah, I hear you, man. I mean, that piece of it is not cool. It's a bad look.
Yeah, and I mean, like, this city is so passionate, right? And he doesn't reflect what we're about, I feel like, you know? He's all glitz and glamour, and we're gritty.
You know what the thing is with him? It's funny. Because, he's tough. He's that Australian.
He's Australian,
thing.
Yeah.
Right, that Australian thing's real.
Yeah.
I think he and I can understand it, right? Like you're in your early 20s,
yeah.
And the world's your oyster, right? You date a Kardashian, right? You date the whole thing. It's easy to get swept up in it, right?
Right, right.
And I think there's a part of him that likes to be cool, that thinks he's cool, and strives to be cool.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like, I don't know. It was just upsetting to hear that as a fan, especially since, I mean, I pour my heart and soul into this city when it comes to sports.
Yeah,
I just got to let you know.
Don't you think that's young? Don't you think that's some youth there?
I know. Yeah, and he's going to regret it. He's going to regret it.
Yeah.
You know? But, you know, I just got to tell you, I threw a hammer on the Sixers money line, and I really hope they win tonight, guys, you know?
Oh, let's go, man. I'm with you. I'm with you on, man.
You know, I got paid today. I was like, why not? Yeah, something in the air. Something in the air, but have a good one, Cubs.
You too, brother. Go Sixers, man. You got it, buddy. I got a hammer on the Sixers money line. I know you don't want to hear about, like, youth and stuff like that. But if you're going to keep it real, and you're 24 years old, and you're the man, you know, I mean, that stuff's real. Sometimes you lose your path a little bit, and you always got to be kind of pulled back in. That's why I talk about the shrimp cocktail. Shrimp cocktail's real. How much shrimp cocktail are you going to eat until you finally realize it's about winning? But the shrimp cocktail's intoxicating. Anthony, West Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Ant. What's going on, man?
What's happening, brother?
Oh, man, I just got so much on my mind right now, man. Like, so I really called to talk about Brett Brown, man. And I called Devon a couple weeks ago, man. And I feel like this season kind of was a little lost when we kind of chose Brett Brown over Jimmy Butler. I feel like that, and I listened to the person we talked to a little earlier, but I was driving, so I don't remember who the person was we're talking to. But he was talking about how, you know, they need a dog. They need somebody who's going to get the face of Ben Simmons and grilling beef. And we had
Gary Smith. Yeah, yeah. He used to work for Sports Illustrated, right?
We had him. And with the Sixers decided to do, they decided to pick Brett Brown over Jimmy Butler. And we already kind of knew that Brett Brown wasn't the guy. Like, I wanted to go back to the Boston series a couple years ago. It was a couple games off. And that's it.
Yeah, the Brad Stevens thing, yeah.
Last year, we were going to go to the Toronto game, game 7. There was 3 turnovers. I think the Sixers were up, or it was a tie. And the game
was tied.
Minutes left. And there was 3 turnovers. They had 3 crucial turnovers at the end of that game. It was so key that they weren't prepared. And that really, to me, falls on coaching. A coaching has a lot to do with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. I mean, that's fair. The Jimmy thing, here's, I think, how they looked at it. So, I love Jimmy, man. I love the fact that he was the alpha. I think Jimmy scared him, because there's a couple things at play here. It's not just Brett Brown.
Mm-hmm.
It's Jimmy's a little older.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy can blow things up. So you get in bed with Jimmy, you're at Jimmy's behest.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're putting the whole keys and you're giving them to Jimmy, and Jimmy can blow you up now.
I mean, but look at what's going on down there in Miami, though, Ant.
No, I know. Listen, that's fair.
Miami looks good, and I'm going to be honest with you. They might be the fourth best team in the East right now after that.
But you're right. I mean, they look pretty good. The only thing is, let's see. You know, they ain't won anything yet, right? But I feel you. And this was, remember what ownership is also thinking, that this is a long-term play that's not just for this year, that you're going to have Simmons and Embiid here for years to come, and, you know, you don't want to take a chance that Jimmy blows it up before it's all ready.
KD will be back next year. Like, that don't mean
you can't win, though.
Like, next year.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean you're not going to. Yeah, but that doesn't mean you're not going to be able to win.
You're trying to be
in contention for the next, you know, 5 to 7 years.
I just don't know. They just look very shaky, man. And it also kind of fools why Kobe Bryant was so good and so much.
I mean, he's rare, right?
But again, it shows, like, so we talked about Ben Simmons just a few minutes ago, how, you know, he went to party and chilled down in South Beach. What would Kobe Bryant have been doing after he lost that game like that and got blown out?
No, Kobe would never, because Kobe, and here's the thing about Kobe, all these people now, the players now, Kobe had no friends.
Yeah.
Kobe didn't care about making friends. right. Kobe wanted that whole thing about cutting your heart out was real. Right? Yeah. That was real. Yeah. And listen, I enjoyed it, Ant. You call anytime, brother. Great conversation, man. Thank you, brother. We're going to the game. So, everybody, have a great night. Let's see. Let's see what happens. Elliot just stoned Devils on the breakaway. Let's see if, they can muster enough. They can have the gumption, and they can win. Sixer basketball right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Thanks for listening, everybody.